The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
The strong right arm of ATP. Are you going to continue your subliminal advertising for the show this week?
I can't say, because if I told you, then it wouldn't be subliminal.
True. I'm only at the liminal level right
You're
now.
You're at the liminal level.
Yes.
Well, I'm always encouraging people to listen to this wonderful show.
Of course.
Everywhere I go.
Yeah, absolutely. And why
subliminally
not?
Subliminally or not?
Regular liminally.
Regular liminally. Yes.
I thought that the root for the word liminal actually meant a lake, because in biology, if you're a limnologist, that means you study like lake, like a pond, basically.
I thought it was like in between.
In between. That
like,
makes sense.
You know, like a threshold.
Sure. That makes sense. Actually, that would apply to both then. That might make sense.
It might make sense.
Where's Stephanie when you need her? We'll have to wait till she comes back.
Anyway.
Cool. So cool. Term is going well.
Yeah, really busy, but, you know, lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
In terms of committee work and
That's
so forth.
Right.
Yeah, as you know.
You've been recently appointed the head of, specifically?
The Office of Student Fellowships.
Yeah, which is very, very cool. We need to get more Rhodes Scholars here.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to encourage our students to apply for and hopefully receive more outside fellowships and monies and grants and so on and so forth, and we will see how it goes.
Very, very cool.
Fantastic.
Very, very inaugural.
Yes.
So,
but things get done when people are in charge of them, and that's what makes it kind of exciting.
Is that true?
Instead of just being,
yes,
well,
it is.
When you're in charge, it does.
Oh.
How's that?
Thank you, Matt.
Continuing around the table, Professor Mara Livesey is here with us today.
Hello.
How are you?
I am probably the most tired I've been in a very long time.
Welcome to the club. So you just survived your very first, not that it was specifically intersecting with your day-to-day, but you survived your first advising week and registration week. Anything that you noticed about Detroit Mercy from being here for the first time for that, for winter?
Yeah. Emails.
Lots
of students email the professor asking for overrides, and then I have to email each and every one of them back saying, please enter the wait list.
That's what it takes. The dean is very interested in headcount right now, so we have to use those wait lists if we can. That is true. But it sounds like a couple of your lectures for fall semester have a pretty deep wait list.
Yeah, one of them definitely is up to 10.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Excellent. That just means you're in demand.
That's right.
The man who needs no demand is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
He is demanding, though.
Oh, no, actually, right about now, I'm at the beck and call of students right about now because they're starting to panic.
Oh, wow.
Graduation's coming up, internships, kids need to find jobs. I'm like, why are you coming to me? Why me?
That's always true.
I can't complain. They're good kids.
They work are. Hard, so. They are. Have you had a good semester, Dave?
Remains to be seen. The jury's still out. I don't want to judge it just yet. Because of the silly ice storms earlier this semester, I lost 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Because they happened to be on the days I taught class.
Of course they did, yes. So. Even during the crazy winter of 2014, I lost no ground in my lecture or lab. And this semester, one snow day, and I've been playing pickup for about 5 weeks.
Yep.
It is insane.
Ugh, crazy. Professor Joe Abbasid is about to tell me if there have been any upsets in today's bracket.
I haven't even followed.
I was sure that
I forgot my tablet today.
Oh.
One reason why. I have so much grading and so much work to do.
Right,
that I have,
right.
But apparently I have to go to a wedding tomorrow. I just found out.
It's hard when life gets in the way of the bracket. You
it
know?
Really is.
Hey, you don't look so good, Joe. You look a little green around the gills. I think you might have to spend some time back in the hotel room.
Give your paper and then leave.
Yeah. Skype it.
Continuing around the table, maybe Dan Maggio will let me know if there's been any upsets earlier today.
I don't really follow other than the legal pool that I'm in.
It's for charity, right?
It's for charity.
Yeah.
So other than that, did Minnesota beat Louisville?
There were some close games.
There were some close
games. So very cool. Very, very cool.
Not too much of a basketball fan.
Yeah, but you know, you follow the Jesuit schools.
I mean, I watch the games. I ask myself, am I watching professional basketball or people who are earning an undergraduate degree?
Let's see.
But at least they're legitimately there as athletes.
Versus,
you know, pretending to be an athlete in order to get into, say, Stanford.
Oh, Lord, save us all.
You'll see.
Yeah. I'm just in it for the parties and the game days. Yes, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can find us on Facebook. Don't have to try too hard to find us. Or you can ask your smart speaker to play Ask the Professor, Detroit Mercy, or Detroit Mercy's Ask the Professor. String those words together any way you see fit, and watch the fun ensue. You know, we've got some questions here. You're going to know who it is within just a few words. Dear colleagues, once again, my schedule does not permit me to join you for the show today. I hope you'll still keep me on the guest list for our annual luncheon at the Bayview Sailing Club. Anyway, in lieu of my presence and puns, here's a set of questions based on the Greek alphabet, specifically how they're used for symbols. Oh, he's on a symbol kick now.
Oh, jeez.
I hope you've got some mathematicians and scientists on the show today. As for grading, iota grade this on the kappa, but I think that would be giving you a clue for one of the questions.
Oh, no.
Instead, I'll say a passing score is 12 out of 15. Oh, my.
Oh, Lordy.
Can I show off for a minute?
Sure.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon. Did I say them all? Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
So if the question was recite the alphabet,
I think I get a point.
Nice.
Too bad we don't have that one. At least I don't think we do. I don't know.
Is that a bonus question?
It could be a bonus question.
I'd give you extra credit for that.
Thank you. Yeah. Professor.
Half a
You're welcome.
What airline would you use?
Delta.
If you're tired of the long Detroit winter and you want to fly to Florida for a change in temperature.
Delta.
Delta. Jason puts in parentheses, don't forget that Q equals MC delta T. Like, don't worry, we won't, Jason. Thank you very much for that. Oh, that is very, very funny. So you went right to the dad pun there.
Of course.
You know, and knocked it out of the park, Heather. What Greek letter is used to represent viscosity, to represent partial regression coefficients in statistics, wave impedance in a medium, or elasticity in economics?
Beta.
It's not beta.
No, what's the one about statistics?
Elasticity.
No, the stats one?
Oh, I'm sorry, stats. Regression coefficient. My bad.
It's not sigma.
Alpha.
It's neither of those. That's not what it says.
That would make...
So I believe that our service fraternity...
It's rho.
Rho.
It's not rho, as it has here. No, that's not what it says.
Oh, boy.
Our service fraternity on campus, which is co-educational, even though they call themselves a fraternity, decided to be very, very funny and choose the first letter that we're looking for here as their chapter title.
What, like Itapakega? Like one of those?
I can't picture the symbol.
No, their chapter title would be as if they had recently consumed a confection often made of crust and fruit.
Pie.
So Ada is the word I'm looking for. They are Ada Pie is the... that's we're putting an X over that one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ada.
That was tough. Boy, we ran around the block.
That is a rarely used
Ada?
Letter from the Greek alphabet.
Don't you do Ada. Economic elasticity all the time?
No, not since yesterday.
Every morning in the shower.
What Greek letter is used in geometry to represent a plane angle, used to represent the angle to the x-axis in the xy plane in spherical or cylindrical coordinates, or the potential temperature in thermodynamics?
Say that again, please.
In English.
A little slower.
What Greek letter is used in geometry to represent a plane angle?
Theta.
It is theta, or theta, hey. To our British Ooh. Listeners in. Theta.
Great.
Theta. Thetans, I believe, isn't that the Scientology thing? There's
Cretans?
The aliens that live inside all of us that are going to take us back.
Thetans or Cretans?
Thetans is
the Cretans too, probably. Yeah.
Which Greek letter represents the metric prefix when measuring units to a millionth?
Micro.
Mu. Mu. Yes. When we read micro as a prefix, it is a mu. I think a mu is a funny name letter. Which Greek letter represents degrees of freedom in statistics or frequency in physics or chemistry?
Oh.
Degrees of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Frequency. Isn't that the V one?
Yeah, it is the V one.
What's it called?
But it does not say the V one.
The V one.
It says the Greek letter.
Dan goes to the entire alphabet again.
I give you the hint that it rhymes with our last letter.
Epsilon. Epsilon?
It rhymes with mu.
Oh, mu. Oh, oh, the last one. New.
New. Yes. New. New or new.
New. Yep. Okay, sure.
I'll give it to you. What Greek letter represents profit in microeconomics and game theory, as well as representing inflation in macroeconomics? Also represents a irrational number that starts with 3.14159. That is pi. Which Greek letter represents the summation operator when adding a series of digits in
sigma.
Math?
Sigma.
Sigma. Sigma, sigma. What Greek letter represents torque, net rotational force, or proper time in relativity? What Greek letter is most often equated with the t sound?
Stuttering?
Just
tau?
Tau.
Tau. Tau.
Ooh,
yes,
okay.
It's tau. Yeah. Ooh, Jason, you are raking us over the coals here.
So, Heather, you want to get a deck of cards out?
Yeah, I know. Humanities types here, artistic types, or just...
How about... What Greek letter represents the stream function in fluid dynamics, the yaw angle... In vehicle dynamics and the polygamma function in math.
Dan?
Or it's the same symbol, Mara, that we use for the wave function.
Lambda? The wave function.
Zeta. Zeta.
I just realized, too, that I forgot four letters at the end of the alphabet.
There is a lot of letters in this one.
Oh.
Trident. Oh. Aquaman, I don't know.
Neptune.
Yeah.
Partial credit.
It's not phi, is it?
No, it's psi. It's psi. It's in psychology.
So why didn't you say we have a Jesuit that...
Right, I should have.
So I did miss phi, chi, psi, omega.
Yeah, you did.
Did anybody catch that?
I said omega.
I knew I sort of missed, and I'm like, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Yeah, we just noticed your voice got trailed off, and we trusted you.
I don't often read the alphabet.
I know from the study of my faith that the last letter is omega, but that's about as far as I could go. So, yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We trusted you. That's all, Dan. We trusted
you. How about we go back to one we probably know, wavelength?
Lambda.
That was lambda, yes. And what we think a little more about lambda, 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 we're going to take a break.
Fraternity, Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. What movie is that from?
The Animal House?
No.
And we are back discussing the source of my reference to Lambda, Lambda, Lambda from the original Revenge of the Nerds. Yes.
God.
Revenge of the Nerds. Tri-Lambs.
Were you saving
what they call themselves. Possibly. Possibly. Let's see. Let's do a couple more of these because my mind is pretty much blown at this point. Which Greek letter represents the tilt of the Earth's axis in astronomy? It's one of the three-syllable Greek letters, and we don't have any Jesuits with this.
Epsilon?
Epsilon. Yeah, very well done.
Can you tell me what the...
No, Father degrees, Epsilon.
What is the degree of the tilt?
Do we know it?
Of the Earth?
Yes. 23.5 degrees.
43.5
degrees. 23.5. That's a lot.
We're getting early spring.
Uranus.
We would have very hot summers and cold winters, I suspect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hotter.
Oh, my gosh. Let's do one more of these because I'm starting to get a little bit afraid. People might accidentally mistake this Greek letter as the last one in the Greek alphabet. It definitely is not. Which Greek letter represents damping ratio?
Zeta.
Zeta. Yeah, very good. We do not also have any Jesuits on campus named after.
Father Zeta.
Father Zeta.
Catherine Zeta.
Catherine Zeta Jones. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about it. Let's go to something a little more tangible here.
Yeah, thanks anyway, Jason.
Yes.
By the way, he hasn't shown up to a show this season, has he?
Yes,
he doesn't get to come to the luncheon.
He's been to a couple.
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yes.
I look forward to seeing him then.
Oh, my gosh.
Do we need to hang our photos up in here so we know who's
here? I guess there's a lot of sugar in those cupcakes.
Yes, there is. Things are getting frisky. So we have a set of questions sent from Anani Mouse. And in 2017, the United States experienced an unusual astronomical event, which was a solar eclipse visible from the west to east coast. What do the profs know about eclipses? And maybe that one in particular. Let's start with a few basics.
Is that the question?
No, that is just the intro.
We don't know much. The answer is not much.
I'm not tipping my hand. That's you kidding? Right. Not letting it all.
In order to produce the phenomena of an eclipse, which two bodies must line up precisely as seen from Earth?
Sun and moon.
Sun and moon. Yes. Once I walked into my lecture hall.
Or any other large, sufficiently large object.
I mean, there's not much else around us that's that big, right? So
we never know.
Once I walked into my lecture hall to begin class, and someone from the previous day had written on the board, if sun equals hot, what moon? Still thinking about that one. We've experienced both lunar and solar eclipses, but which of the two is more rare?
Solar
eclipse. Now, that's the one where the moon gets in front of the sun, I believe.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. As evidenced by, isn't that the, what is it, this, the sky is falling? Was it a little bit of a Chicken Little thing going on there?
Sure.
Something.
A total lunar eclipse lasts only as long as it takes for the moon to pass through the Earth's shadow. What's the maximum time, theoretically, that that could last?
Wow.
Usually Kendra is able to guess these.
16 hours.
No, it's quite a bit shorter.
Oh, the max.
Maximum time.
So if you're standing at a particular point, the maximum time?
It's a little longer than an hour.
2 hours, 13 minutes.
It is.
75 minutes.
I split the difference between the two. It's 100 minutes is the maximum time that the moon can pass through the Earth's shadow behind the sun.
Okay.
Which is the cloud. That's the one where the moon looks like it's getting really angry. It gets kind of red and orange and everything. Yes. So 100 minutes, not too long. When did the last coast-to-coast solar eclipse prior to 2017 occur? Because that's why that was almost such a big deal.
Ooh. Oh, it's like 40 years before that or something.
Even more before that.
1947?
1907.
Before that. 07 is pretty close. It was 1918, so it was basically like 100 years. Extra point, if on first guess, you can tell me what month it was in.
August.
Nope. June. June. Mama June. Just got arrested the other day. Between 2010 and 2030, only two total solar eclipses will be seen from a significant number of the United States. The longest was the one on 21 August 2017. The next will be seen from South America across the southeast to about the northeast states. When is this phenomena expected? What year?
Was it 2029?
Really close. Really, really close. 2024 we're going to have to wait for.
Mm. Close.
Yes.
Close enough.
Extra point if you can give the exact date of this future eclipse.
Nope.
Dan's birthday.
Dan's birthday is?
March 25th.
March 25th. I'm giving Professor Hill Vasquez partial credit. It is 8th of April. You'd be a little early.
So that's the one that's passing over Cleveland, Erie.
Cleveland, yes.
And there's a chance I may go home.
See, there you
enjoy
go.
Enjoy the eclipse from Erie, Pennsylvania.
It is quite beautiful. I was in Illinois when it happened. I had to drive 3 hours to see it. Worth it.
That's totally cool.
Absolutely worth it.
That's a good chance because I'll get to stay for free.
Well.
I hope.
Yeah, we hope. Yeah.
Are you sure?
For now.
As your parent.
But I think Cleveland's like right in the thick path of things.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
Most people in Detroit will probably drive down like towards Toledo at minimum. You know, it's only an hour for us. But 2024.
Cool.
Soon we'll be able to say we lived through the 20s, and it's just around the corner.
Yes. Well, hopefully. Living through and surviving are two different things.
All right. We're almost there.
Battle scarred.
Almost there. New decades on the horizon. Mm-hmm. A couple more eclipse questions. In the Detroit area, what percent of the sun was obscured by the moon on 21 August 2017? What percentage?
80.
It's 80 on the dot.
Yay.
Wow.
Professor,
are you an aficionado?
Yes. Are you a moon chaser, sun chaser?
Really knows solar eclipses.
What was that, Joe?
Really knows her solar eclipses.
Absolutely. This was confirmed by Michael Narlock, head of astronomy for Cranbrook Institute of Science.
Oh, cool,
in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
Yeah, they have a nice Narlock telescope.
Mm-hmm. The point of greatest eclipse, the point where you get the best view of the solar corona, was in which state? For the 21 August 2017. Iowa? It wasn't Iowa. It was a little bit further to the east.
Pennsylvania.
If only Kendra were here, she would have
Kentucky.
Guessed. Kentucky. Yes, Kentucky. Extra point available if they know the exact city.
No.
Louisville.
Nah.
It wasn't Louisville.
Frankfurt.
It was Hopkinsville.
Hopkinsville.
Of course. Kentucky. We were just going to go there.
Actually, I'm really taken aback. This is where our next remote's going to be in Hopkinsville,
yeah, right.
Kentucky. You need to be ready for this, man.
Well, are we going to go down with the Green Acres?
Yep.
You know, the cities too, like Hooterville and all those others.
Oh my. The length of total eclipse when the sun is completely blocked by the moon differs depending on location. What is the longest time the total solar eclipse could be seen? On 21 August 2017, now we said the lunar one was maximum 100 minutes. This is quite a bit less.
2 minutes and 36 seconds.
I'm giving Dan full credit for 2 minutes, 40 seconds. You were only seconds off. And Anani Mouse said an answer within 30 seconds would be acceptable for full credit.
Yay.
Incredible. Between Heather and...
For that, I think I deserve
Mara,
a cupcake.
Dan.
Fortunately, there are some here to be eaten.
That's right.
What Greek letter?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Not that again.
No.
I was going to say, what Chinese symbol?
Oh, Zeus.
What Chinese symbol represents eclipse? How are eclipses measured? No, it's time for ATB favorites.
Favorites.
I'm talking like a little kid. In the mortal words of my 7-year-old, what are we having for dinner tonight? We're having soup. Dad, that's just hot water with stuff.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that?
You got
so
it.
So true.
And it is so true. What
soup is not a meal.
You don't think soup is a meal?
Oh no.
It's a quote.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
A quote from Seinfeld.
If you eat enough of it, it's a darn good meal.
What about a big salad, Heather?
Yes, of course.
I brought you to that big salad.
If it has boiled eggs on it.
Oh, 100%. If it's like the Maurice, like we're not even talking here.
Oh yeah, that's like
the best.
Two dinners.
Yes, it is. Let's have one of our panelists come up with what our favorite will be for today.
What's your favorite soup?
What is your favorite
Ooh,
soup?
Okay, there we go.
That's a
oh,
good
I'm jumping
question.
Right on
go
this
for it, man.
One.
All you.
Because when we had the hot water with stuff, I made my favorite, which is Italian wedding soup.
I was going to say that as one of mine.
Have you ever done favorite soup before? I don't think we have.
No.
It's a good soup, got to say. And I've grown up hating tomato soup. But as I'm getting older...
Tomato-based soup, though?
No, just like tomato.
Oh.
Ooh, you know?
Just dip a grilled cheese in there.
With a grilled cheese, see?
Oh,
yeah, so
childhood.
I just didn't... Yeah, I didn't really dig it back in the day, but now I like it more.
Heather's thinking.
That's my soup.
I make this soup... I really like this soup. It's roasted yellow pepper soup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you roast half of the yellow peppers, and then it's leeks and potatoes and...
Do you immersion blend
oh,
it?
Oh, yes. I love my immersion blender.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite
nice.
Things, my immersion
nice.
Blender.
I'm going to say French onion with a lot of cheese.
Croutons. Yeah. Oh.
I was thinking about that, too.
Doggone it.
Maybe a nice piece of baguette. Ooh.
Oh, that's it. I'm done for.
Gruyere.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I'm going to get very specific. The onion rolls, mushroom barley soup back in the day.
Oh, the onion
roll.
Do
you remember
roll.
The onion roll?
Oh, yeah.
They used to make this mushroom barley soup, but the only thing that kind of tainted it would be like served in like a styrofoam bowl, even though you ate in.
You could bring your own bowl.
I know, but it just like that was, but the soup tasted wonderful.
Now, this is where the owl is now,
yes.
right?
Yes.
On Woodward.
The
yes.
old school mm-hmm. onion roll back in the day. When
those
so,
were the
yeah,
days.
So.
Those were the days.
Or the clam chowder from Albans up in Birmingham.
Mm, oh, my gosh.
Is
this festival of restaurants that have closed on Woodward, Dave, or what?
I guess,
come on,
I mean,
man.
I just have fond
memories.
Talking
New England? New England style or Manhattan style?
Oh,
ooh.
Clam chowder.
Ooh,
Manhattan is the red one,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I like New England, but
yeah.
I'm fine with either one.
We're
but waiting. I just remember growing up Saturdays, it'd be, get you know, a bowl of clam chowder and like one of those... You know, big bread rolls off the cart.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Munch on that for hours.
That's
so.
Awesome.
I'll say lentil soup, red lentil soup.
Very nice.
Very good.
How healthy?
Very nice.
Yes.
Good
it's
choice.
Pretty
though.
Healthy, nutritious. I think the key is to use like a vegetable broth as opposed to
yes.
a water-based broth.
I have a silly question. Is there such thing as a non-healthy soup?
Oh, yeah.
The French onion soup with all the
foot
gruyere.
Foot of gruyere on top of it.
Yeah, there's some French onion on the bottom of it somewhere, right?
There are somewhere there's onions in there.
There's some broth.
So, do you like your lentil flavored with lemon by any chance?
Lemon, yes. I like lemon quite a bit.
That's good stuff.
If you use turmeric in a lentil soup, will really help. It'll make it more yellow. Turmeric is, you know, what makes mustard yellow.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You can put it into a lentil soup. I have a really good recipe for that. And lentil soup would be a favorite. I guess chili doesn't count as a soup.
I don't know.
Chili is not a meal.
Is chili a stew?
The better question is like beans or no beans?
Oh, beans.
Beans, absolutely.
Yes. Beans, absolutely. But not everybody agrees with us.
Well, but that's why in Detroit we say chili sauce for a no-bean chili for a hot
dog. Oh, Mark makes this soup that his Mexican grandmother used to make. I just remembered it. It's called albondigas.
Mm.
It's meatball. It's meatballs, these homemade pork meatballs. It's Mexican. Albondigas.
It's
a Spanish word.
For?
Albondigas. Hmm.
The meatball?
Yeah. What's it saying?
I don't know. Meatball? Maybe it just means albondigas. You know, not everything means something.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Hyundai.
I have homemade pea soup in my freezer.
That's pretty good.
With the ham hock.
Oh gosh, with the ham flavoring.
Yes.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. You cook the ham hock in the dried peas, and then you take it out, and then you slice it up and put it back in there.
This was reminds me of Arrested Development when Lindsay was trying to learn how to cook. She just put ham in water and served it and called it hot ham water. That is more appetizing than the joke that I just made. We're all the way back to Dan. We've covered all the bases of the
Dan,
things.
I'm sorry. What's your soup?
That he could have said.
Clam chowder or potato leek.
Potato leek.
I like all soups. I'm a big soup person.
Soup is good.
Potato leek is good.
Soup is good food. That's my opinion.
So what happens if you drain all the water out of wonton soup? Is that still soup? It's broth.
The only good part are the wontons.
I went to a Thai restaurant on Wednesday and had that tom yum soup. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good.
Sure. That's good too.
So that would be another.
Is it spicy?
You can make it spicy. It depends. But I think it is supposed to be spicy.
Coconut?
Mm. I don't know whether this was a good idea or not. We did favorite cookie a few weeks ago, but because they weren't in front of us, it wasn't real. Somehow the soup is dangling right in front of me right now.
Are we just going to have a cooking episode?
Yes, please.
Should we have a cooking episode? It's been a while since we've dared our listeners to send us questions. How about a nice 20-question bit about soup?
Or
how about something about cooking, food in general? Spring is here. It's not even around the corner anymore. And unfortunately, what is also around the corner
is a heart attack.
Is our time to say goodbye. Professor Maggio.
Have a great weekend.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Livesey.
Juice.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
I'm going to get my husband to make some albondigas.
And now, these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed in a cooler room than we're currently in by Brian Masonville today, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.